Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Now, Sustainable Living Lab sees itself as an innovation lab that helps companies around the world create more sustainable practices and products. And much as sustainability and green issues are the trending topics these days, SL2 was set up with nothing but a dream by Veerappan Swaminathan back in 2010. He paid himself little but stayed the course.
And last year, it posted a revenue of just under 1 million Singapore dollars on the back of projects involving high-profile clients such as Japan's leading packaging company, Nippon Closures, and various government agencies. Well, the firm has now expanded its operations to Indonesia and India, where it's spreading its message of sustainable solutions, community building, and social enterprise.
So how does one turn their back on a good salaried job as a mechanical engineer in various cases and embark on the unknown just because they believe in it? We'll find out from founder and director of Sustainable Living Lab, Veerappan Swaminathan. Vera, thanks so much for coming today.
Thanks very much for having me.
So first up, the impetus for SL2. Was there a light bulb moment, or was just something that you always knew you'd get into?
It's an interesting story. We actually had this as a student club in the final 2 years of my university. And the three co-founders of that club, we came out of university, and then the job market didn't look too attractive, so we decided to get in and do something meaningful with our time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how did you make that decision to kind of leave a salaried job to do this?
Well, one could argue I never had a salaried job to begin with. This was the first and only thing I've actually done. But I would say, I think when we were in school, we got involved in a project that got us to address the issue of farmer suicides in Maharashtra in India. That was in 2006 and 2007. And in that process, I think we came to realize that you could do so much more with some of the knowledge and things that we were studying than just, you know, making some money to keep on going. We could really make an impact with what we were studying. And mechanical engineering, we applied that to design solar fruit dryers. And that, in fact, is a project that's still ongoing today, 13 years on.
Mm-hmm. But practical considerations still need to come to the fore at every now and then. How did you eat? I mean, you paid yourself very little at the beginning. It was like less than $500 a month or something. I mean, that did make you anxious?
So definitely, I think one good thing, my parents didn't know exactly that I was getting $500. So I think a lot of anxiety comes.
Now they would know.
Now they would know. But a lot of anxiety comes, I think, from the environmental factors around you.
Yeah.
You had to be true to your mission, of course. But of course, a lot of support that comes from around you that's helpful as well. I think my parents did not give me a lot of pressure in terms of what I wanted to do. As long as I stayed out of trouble and did something useful, they were kind of okay with it. So I was definitely privileged that way.
Yeah.
Did not have that kind of pressure that some of my peers had to support their families and so on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, what was the impetus for the pivot to education? I mean, like the maker movement, which teaches ordinary people technical skills for repairing their own home appliances and also teaching students AI.
I think essentially when we come down to it, sustainability, we view it under a three pillars model: environmental, economic and social sustainability.
Okay.
So any kind of organization that tries to do a single solution, a particular thing, doesn't kind of misses the forest for the trees.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right, so...
But those aren't, per se, not doing good work.
I mean, they're not necessarily so. But I think what we need right now is systems solutions. Systems solutions, me as an organization, we must be prepared to not just, you know, work with corporates creating new products and new services. We also must be prepared to work with government agencies to help create new policies, bring in new ideas. We must also be prepared to work with the public move, you know, public sentiment on certain issues. And all these things need to happen at the same time. So that systemic approach means necessarily we have to get involved in education.
Yeah. Right?
And I think one of the main things that's coming up a lot is how do you get people on board with the wave of technology?
Mm.
Technology is changing so quickly.
Mm.
How exactly, you know, are we going to, firstly, you know, not even talk about closing the gap, but prevent the gap from getting bigger than it already is right now?
Mm-hmm.
And today you have it with AI, right? And large populations will not be able to participate in the AI-enabled economy. And we can already see that happening.
It also feels a little sort of focus being diluted, so to speak, if you're going to stick your hand in too many pies, Vera.
So definitely, I mean, it's a concern that many people have told us from our very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we always looked at it from a systems thinking approach. So systems thinking is something that runs at the core of our organization. We look at at a problem and this hole and look at where are the point leverage points that we can effect change in.
Yeah.
And sometimes that may be education, sometimes that may be policy change, sometimes that may be moving ground sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
It's like health, I suppose. Stop slapping a band-aid on it. Let's go to the root and see what's going
exactly.
on, right? Yeah.
Well, we're talking to founder and director of a Sustainable Living Lab, SLL, SL2 rather, Virupad Swaminathan. How can businesses profitably incorporate sustainable practices?
So firstly, I think businesses have to see it in terms of long term, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if someone is looking at the short term, having a conversation about sustainability is a pointless venture.
Oh, endeavor, mm-hmm. okay.
You have to be thinking about the long term to begin with, and then thinking about sustainability, it almost comes naturally.
Okay.
Because how could you expect to, you know, do whatever you're doing if you're not taking care of the stakeholders around you, be it your employees, be it the communities that you're having your factories and operations
yeah.
in, you know, and so on. So,
but you say that like it's so simple, but you know, people
I mean,
kind
to be
of
honest,
don't.
A lot of these things are obvious. I mean, the most ridiculous thing is that I actually
perhaps
have to say these things. I think a lot of things about sustainability is fairly obvious. People have instead been very comfortable about just, you know, being laser focused on the short term and forgetting about all the externalities, the negative externalities that they are creating in the environment around them.
Yeah. So we brought it up a wee bit about pragmatic concerns when it comes to especially kids coming out of university and all that. They may have some of the pressures that you said you were fortunate to not have felt. How viable, though, is a career in being a green warrior, so to speak? To
I
stay
think,
the
yeah.
course is
yeah.
difficult.
Right.
There are concerns that you may not get paid for quite a bit of time, maybe, or just paid less.
Sure. I mean, I think the same applies to anyone starting any organization. I mean, if you look at any startup entrepreneur starting out, chances are they're also going to be in the same shoes as I was. So if the options today are much more for someone who wants to pursue career in sustainability, they could join an organization like ours, I mean, for example, right? And you don't have to go through all that again.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to start their own organization, chances are they have to go through that process.
Yeah.
Not just a green organization,
yes.
but any organization for that matter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you are in your green t-shirt today, so you're mentioning the green warrior.
This was not intentional.
Represent, yeah.
It represents the mindset.
Yeah.
So how can one be a green warrior, Vera, in whatever profession? I mean, general tips, do you have something?
I think firstly is to be mindful about what the externalities that the business is creating. Exactly, or whatever work they are creating. So sometimes you may say, find yourself, oh, I'm in a finance industry, or I obviously don't go and pollute, but who do you finance exactly? Do you finance those who go out and do that,
okay.
right?
Yeah.
You have to look at what is the first order, second order impacts of the work that you're doing and to bring the awareness every day.
Assume this goes down the road of discovery that finds you, you know, who you work for is supplying to, maybe
exactly,
not
yeah.
so.
And
what
some,
is the recourse for that,
yeah,
Vera, to quit the job?
Willfully blind to it, right? And not want to hear the bad news. I think today, there's really no excuse. There's a lot of information out there. You can know what your companies are investing in, what they're actually doing.
But again, pragmatic concerns may come up. This is my job though, and I can't be that picky as just because my company now supplies to so-and-so who's a bad hat
and
or a bad
actor,
and therefore I have to quit. And
so I'll give you an example, right? Tobacco industry.
Yeah.
They have a phenomenal challenge in attracting talent.
Okay.
I mean, for years now, that's been the case. That's because, you know, the particular industry has been demonized, right?
Yes.
And we're also seeing that young people are making those decisions as well when it comes to other industries. Like, you look at palm oil industry, for example. It is not a sexy thing to be in a palm oil business.
Yeah, at this point, yeah.
Yeah, at this point. And that does change practices because if you want to run a good business, you first need your customers to be happy with the product services you're offering, right? And secondly, you need to have good talent and good people join the organization.
Yeah.
And if you're not an organization that actually takes care of these things, you won't have both these things. You won't have good talent, nor will your customers be satisfied with what you're offering.
Yeah. So you're saying in order to be a green warrior in whatever profession, you really just have to go way back into what you believe in.
Start with
and
first principles.
How much you believe in.
Start with the first principles. Look at what the company is doing. Is it a net positive or a net negative?
Right. Mm. Founder and director of Sustainable Living Lab, Virupad Swaminathan, joining us today. Vera, it's been a pleasure.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.